Very exciting. This morning is House Church Sunday. It's very important to us to emphasize not just church, not just relationship with Jesus, but community, relationship with each other. Dean Woolley is one of our elders. He oversees our house churches. So we're going to turn it over to him this morning. Now, if you think I am, you know, vibrant and exciting, Dean is at least as fired up as I am, okay?
So I am excited to get to talk to you this morning. You know, once a year, like Tony said, once a year we take a Sunday and we set it aside to talk about house churches. You know, we come up with a creative name, call it House Church Sunday. Pretty good, eh? But as, you know, as the elder in charge of that oversees our house churches, it's, you know, it's my privilege to get to talk to you this morning. Now, I'll be honest with you, our house churches really don't need a lot of oversight. We have really capable leaders. The five house churches that we have are all really mature men and women who love God. They love you guys. They're working hard to bring the kingdom here. When I bring them up a little bit later, I'm going to let them come up and let each of them tell you, you know, just a couple of minutes about their group, where they meet, when they meet, why it's important to them as leaders, why they think we should be doing this. But when I bring them up, you'll recognize them. There'll be people that you think, oh yeah, okay, you know, if you didn't already know they were house church leaders, you won't be surprised. But before, let me set some context. So we all know what we're talking about when we talk about house churches. You know, the goal of our house churches, the stated goal of our house churches is to make disciples, to make true followers of Jesus. That's pretty basic, pretty simple terminology. I mean, it's easy to say, maybe a little bit harder to do all the time. But our model for house churches comes directly out of Ephesians 4, verses 11 through 16. Did we get that slide up there? Great. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service. Equipping his people, that's you guys, the people, equipping, that's what we're trying to do, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. That's probably a fairly familiar scripture to most of us. But this is right out of Ephesians. And, you know, and some key words I want you to hear in this, you know, as our model is equipping the people for service. Building up the body until we all reach unity in the faith, knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ, speaking the truth in love, growing to become in every respect the mature body of Christ, growing and building ourselves up in love as each part does its work. There's a, in the out in the foyer. There's this little pamphlet that talks about our house churches and our small groups. And we've got five house churches, and we've got several small, we call them demographic groups. And so, if you want to know who the people are that are leading these groups and what the different groups are, you know, pick this up. It's on the wall out there if you don't already know. But in the back of it, there's a brief statement about our house churches and our small groups. And I just want to read it to you. Our house churches and small groups both play an important role in the growth process. They are a safe place where people can learn to live in community. We are saved individually, but called to walk together with other members of the body of Christ. It is in this context that we learn how to love people. Our house churches and small groups are a place of fellowship around the Word of God. Our house churches are unique from other groups in that they dig deeper into the topics presented during a Sunday worship experience. They provide an opportunity to reinforce what is taught on Sunday. Now, honestly, true confession, I had not seen that this statement. I hadn't looked at it in a long time. But as I go through talking about what I'm going to talk about today, you'll hear some of this exact same stuff. So our house churches are small groups, typically 10, 20 people, sometimes more, sometimes less, just depends on the week. But we meet in some of the groups meet in the homes, a couple of the groups meet here at church, meet in the Kingdom Club. So just, again, just to set the context of what we're talking about when we talk about house churches. There's a verse in Colossians that to me was, the Lord showed it to me earlier this week, and it's a really a good foundational statement about what our house churches should be, what our own lives should be, what our church should be as a Christ-centered, to have a Christ-centered life. And it's Colossians 3, verses 15 to 17. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you are called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. You know, there's five things that I picked out of these verses that I want you to hear. We're called to unity. We're called to unity. Unity in our house churches, unity in our church, unity in our families. To be at peace with one another, being members of one body. Let Christ's peace rule in your lives. Know that you belong to Jesus. Let that drive us. Let that drive what we do every day. We're called to be thankful. In these three verses, it's three times that it talks about being thankful. Be thankful, giving thanks to God the Father, singing with gratitude. Now, I may not be the sharpest knife in the drawer, but there's a message here. I think it's pretty clear that we're called to be thankful. You know, use our house churches as a place to express your thankfulness. Share what God's doing in your lives with the other folks in the group. We're called to let the message of Christ dwell among us. And based on that message, that's how we teach and admonish one another, is based on the message of Christ. Not based on what you feel or what you think, necessarily, but what does the Word of Christ say? That's how we should be teaching and admonishing one another. That's the basis for it. Teaching and admonishing one another out of love based on the message of Christ. We're called to worship. Psalms, hymns, songs from the Spirit. Singing to God with gratitude in our hearts. We're called to serve in the name of Jesus. Whatever you do, whether we do it in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Word or deed, that pretty much sounds like everything to me. So everything we do should be based on the word of Jesus. Another scripture that'll probably be familiar to you. In Hebrews 10, 24 and 25, It says, "And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." This pretty well sums up why we do house churches. To spur one another to love. You know, love is not an event, right? It's a process. It takes time. It takes effort. It takes work. It takes understanding and giving. You have to spend time together to build that relationship. You know, meeting together in a small group gives us, on a regular basis, gives us that opportunity to build the love and the trust and, quite honestly, the transparency that we need to have in order to be able to share what's really happening in our lives, to share the needs we have and the concerns we have, as well as to be able to understand what the people in our group are going through. Each of us is called to spur one another to good deeds. This is about service and ministry. You know, the small group setting of a house church where we're loved, which is what we just talked about a minute ago, you know, provides a forum for you to be able to serve and minister. And you'll hear this a couple of times, I think, today from me about, you know, the house church as being a safe place to practice, you know, to practice your gifts and your ministry. You know, maybe you're not comfortable in this big setting of 130 people or whatever, but in with 10 or 20 people that you know and have a relationship with, you know, you can try things, and if you fail, it's okay. And you can say, okay, so maybe I missed that word. It wasn't exactly right. You know, and the group can help you understand what it is you missed and how to get it right the next time. The third part of this is to encourage one another. Now, I would speculate that we all have a need for people to have people in our lives who will listen to us, who will love us, who will pray for us, who will support us, who will walk through stuff with us when we're going through crisis. You know, that's what we want out of our house churches. We want our house churches to be that kind of a place for you, where you have that kind of support. I know when Connie and I, over the last, you know, 3 or 4 years, we've lost 3 of our 4 parents have passed away. And our house church has walked through all of those with us. Was there anything amazing that they did? Well, yeah, they were there to support us. They prayed with us. They cried with us. They were there when we needed somebody to just support us. And that was huge. It made it, you know, providing that comfort and encouragement, making difficult situations easier to deal with. And those are the kind of benefits that, you know, I've been in part of house churches most of my adult life. And those are the kind of things that are just, you know, intangibles that you can't explain. You have to experience it. Hebrews 3:13 says, "Encourage one another daily as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness." Again, encourage one another. Encourage one another. Support each other. Build each other up. Okay, well, these are all nice, you know, nice, good spiritual concepts and spiritual words. And, you know, but what does it mean in the day-to-day practical stuff, right? What does it mean where the rubber meets the road? And now I'll confess to you that some of this is going to, you'll have heard me speak. I've had the privilege of talking about house churches over the last 4 or 5 years probably. And so some of this will sound familiar because I've said it before, because I pulled it from my notes from before. But it's still true. It's still the vision, the goal that we have for our house churches. We want our house churches to be a place where you can go to experience and encounter the power and presence of Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
Right? We want them to be a place where we can worship together, to grow as disciples, to learn how to share life. You know, it's part of our mission. Learn how to share life with each other. And this is that having a safe place to practice with our gifts. You know, helping each other to grow in our gifts and callings. Build community. You know, and this includes having fun together. You know, we hope our house churches are fun. I mean, we hope they're places that you want to go and enjoy the presence of, you want to enjoy the presence of God, but you want to enjoy the fellowship with the other believers that are there, with the other folks that are there. You know, let them be a place that's fun, where you go and you laugh together, and maybe even eat together. Yay! You know, we talk about our house churches being kind of unique for the various small groups we have, because again, we have men's groups, we have women's groups, we have the Aaron's group, the group that meets with Aaron on Thursday nights as a prayer meeting, and you know, there's recovery groups and financial mentoring, and so we've got these other demographic groups, if you will. But our house churches, part of it is to focus on and review what are we talking about here on Sundays. You know, what's being taught from the pulpit on Sundays. So we want them to be a place where we can. What does that mean in our day-to-day walk? You know, we get great teaching here from our pastors, you know, and the other elders and the guest speakers that we have. And when's our house churches provide a venue for us to be able to expand on that and talk about, again, what does it mean in our day-to-day? What's the application in our life?
Amen.
You know, it's to study the word more, to dig into it and talk about ask questions, talk about the things that you understand, the insights that you have about it that we can't do in a setting like this. It just won't work. You know, and we each have different experiences. We each have different perspectives. We come from different backgrounds. So the perspective that you have, the insights that you get from listening to Pastor Tony's teaching or Pastor Gary's teaching or whoever are unique because they're colored by your experience and your perspective. And so house church is a place where we can share those experiences and those perspectives that are unique. And maybe, just maybe, you'll be able to help somebody else understand something that they're struggling with or they're wrestling with. It's a unique perspective, a unique way to look at it. And everybody's perspective is important. You may think, well, you know, I'm just me. I don't have anything to contribute. I submit to you, you do.
Amen.
I submit to you, you do.
Amen.
You know, we want our house churches to be a place we can pray for each other, that we can pray with each other. And then, and here's a key thing that I think we miss a lot of times, is testify to how God responds. You know, with my group, we meet every 2 weeks, and we go through prayer requests, we pray for each other, we pray with each other. I write down the prayer requests, and I email them out to my group usually by Friday. You know, we meet on Wednesday night, and usually by Friday, I've mailed them out to them, emailed it. I post it to a house church, our house church's private Facebook group so that they can see them. And we encourage, you know, everybody to just keep praying into them over the 2 weeks until we meet again. And periodically, and, you know, and almost every week, I say, okay, so what has God done? You know, what's God doing? How have you seen God responding? You know? Sometimes it's, well, you know, this person was healed or that or whatever. You know, sometimes it's, you know, we continue to pray. You know, God will respond. That's the key. That's the key point. And, you know, when we share the testimony about how God did respond, whether it takes a week, whether it takes a month, whether it takes a year, you know, when we share the testimony about God, how God's responded, it builds up the faith of everybody that's listening and encourages us to, God does do what he said he's going to do, and encourages us to pray more, to pray harder, to dig in. Spending time together in a small group, you know, pick a group, whether it's the people you work with, you know, whether it's a house church group, whether it's a bowling league, you know, you pick something. The folks you hang out with in those kind of small groups are going to influence you, and you're going to influence them. It's just the way it works when you build relationships. Now, since we're talking about, you know, the things that are really important is our eternal life hanging in the balance, right? Ultimately, I would suggest to you that the kinds of groups you need to be hanging out with are folks that are going hard after God.
Yes, amen.
The phrase "one another" is used a lot in the New Testament. I didn't count them, but there's many instances in the New Testament describe our relationship to other believers. We're instructed to love one another, to pray for one another, encourage one another, bear one another's burdens, build up one another. I like that. I like it. You know, I want this in my life. I want those things. Those are all positive things to be building up our lives. And this is what our house churches are about, right? To have that kind of fellowship. Many of these same attributes we see on Sunday mornings. But in the larger setting of a Sunday morning with 120, 130 people, which, Pastor Tony, for those of you that missed our business meeting a few weeks ago, that, you know, our attendance is up by like 10% over last year. Yay! You know, but in the larger setting like this, it's difficult to do some of the things we've been talking about, you know, with 130 people. But with 10 or 20, you know, sitting around my living room or hanging out in the Kingdom Club or sitting on Cheryl's screen porch, you know, those kind of things are much easier. It's less formal. It's more comfortable. The dynamics are vastly different. And I would encourage you that we need to take advantage of both. You know, certainly to be here, but if it's at all possible, find a way to take advantage of the dynamics of a small group like a house church. I asked my house church, and these are notes from a couple years ago, and I wish I'd thought to do it again, but I didn't. I asked my house church about a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, of why do you come to house church? It was that simple of a question. And I think I gave it to, I think I gave them a piece of paper so they could write it down so it wasn't anything, you know, it were anonymous responses. And here's the kinds of things I got back. It gives me a sense of belonging. Provides a common bond. I know that someone is there when I'm hurting or suffering. I get to know people on a personal basis. It's personal when we pray for each other. I have a need for individual relationships. We edify each other. Being able to share my prayer requests. Seeing answered prayer. That's the kind of responses I got. And I didn't lead the witnesses. Honestly, I just said, why do you come to house church? Gave him a piece of paper. And these are the kind of things I got back. Now, you'd have a tough time convincing me that these aren't good things for any of us. Based on Scripture, and based on, you know, even the three or four Scriptures I shared with you so far this morning, I'm convinced that God wants us to gather together, you know, in this setting, and in smaller settings, to build each other up, to edify others who might need it, to get built up when you need it. And by the way, I didn't see anywhere in Scripture, certainly not in any of these things we're talking about, where God has, you know, talked about us being together. I didn't see anywhere in there that it says, if you feel like it,
Amen.
Or if it's convenient for you. I just don't see it. I think it's a command that we're supposed to follow. You know, we can debate that if you want, but I, you know, if you find it, please show it to me, because I wasn't able to find it. So I don't think this gathering together stuff is optional for a follower of Christ. You know, at the very end of the message last Sunday, which I confess I listened to in my car going back and forth to work this week, because I wasn't here last week. We were out of town. But Pastor Tony was encouraging us to be praying into understanding our place in God's building. You know, how do we fit in with those around us? How are we supposed to interact and support those around us? Because how we fit, the role we have, doesn't just affect us. It affects everybody around us. And it affects the church as a whole. And, you know, the verse in Ephesians that we started with talks about the body being built together, every member doing its part. In 1 Corinthians 12, there's a similar parallel passage that talks about unity and diversity in the body. You know, each of the many members has a unique role and function in the unified whole. You know, God has placed, and this is what the Scripture says, God has placed each of the parts just as He wanted. So He's put us in a place and given us a role that He wants us to fulfill. We have a place in the body, and without us in our place doing our role, the body doesn't function as it's designed. It can't do everything it's supposed to do, whether that's your church, whether it's your family, whether it's your house church. Again, whatever community you find yourselves in, if you're not doing your part in that community, then it's not functioning as fully as it's designed. And if you're not functioning, if you're not in your place in the body, there's two possible consequences. Probably a lot more than that, but at least two that I wanted to point out to you. You may miss an opportunity to be blessed, and you may miss an opportunity to bless somebody else. And you may think your role, your participation doesn't matter, kind of like we talked about your perspective being unique and does matter. You know, you may think your role doesn't matter. But again, that's not what I understand from Scripture. You know, what I understand is that we each have a role, we each have a function, and it's part of us doing our part that makes the body whole. And here's the tough part. It's a choice that you get to make. Day by day, moment by moment, we have to make that choice to fit, you know, to fulfill the role God's called us to. As I was praying this week about this message, I guess it was Tuesday, I'm driving to work, and I got this imagery of the story of Moses and Aaron and Hur. And so I went home and looked it up, and it's out of Exodus 17, and it's the story about the Israelites. You know, they're wandering around the desert, and they've come to a place called Rephidim, and they're hanging out there, and the Amalekites attack them. So Moses says, hey, Joshua, go take some of the guys and go out there and fight. You know, go battle the Amalekites. And then he takes Aaron and Hur, and they go up on the hill overlooking the battlefield. And Moses is there holding up his hands, holding up his staff. And as long as he's doing that, the Israelites are winning the battle. Well, he gets tired because this battle's going on all day. He gets tired and he drops his hands. Well, then the Amalekites start winning. So Aaron and Hur find him a rock. They go. He goes and sits on the rock. And then they stand on either side of him and hold up his hands for the rest of the day. And they win the battle. Okay, Lord, I've heard that story. I've read that story. What are you trying to say? And I was talking to Connie about it, and I got three things out of it that I wanted to point out. In the strict sense of the word, for with Moses and Aaron and Hur and Joshua, they all had to be doing their thing. They had to be fulfilling their function, fulfilling their role that day. If Moses had decided, me holding up my hands, that's just silly, God. You know, I don't want to do this. Or if Aaron and Hur had said, I'm tired, I'm not going to stand here, I look like an idiot standing here holding up Moses' hand. Or if Joshua had said, no, Moses, I'm chilling out today, I'm not going out to battle. I think we could safely speculate that they probably would have lost the battle.
That's right.
If any one of those four, and there's probably others, but if any one of those four hadn't done their part, hadn't done their role, I think you could say that they would have lost the battle. What would the consequences of that been? We don't know. Joshua could have been killed. Moses could have been killed. Who knows? But they did their part. So that's what we know. Now, I was going to use the second part of this, is I was going to use Pastor Tony and a couple of the house church leaders and have Tony come up here and sit on a chair and, a couple of the house church leaders, have him hold up his hands. And, I'm a visual kind of guy, having taught children's church for a lot of years. That's how we teach kids. But what I wanted to you to understand is, And this may be more for the house church leaders in particular, is that that's our role, is to hold up Tony and Gary and Aaron and, be that support, holding up their hands, helping them do their job, helping them do their thing of leading the church, so that they're not, by leading our small groups, by leading our house churches, and by leading a group of 10 or 20 people, we're helping them and supporting them and leading the church as a whole.
That's right.
And they're not required to be at every house church meeting to lead.
That's good.
Right? And similarly, I would submit as house church members, as members of a small group, you've got the same responsibility to your leader, whoever they are. And as Connie and I were talking, as members of a house church, we support and uphold each other, right? And so, in this context of Moses and Aaron and Hur and Joshua, at any point, you may be in any one of those roles. Some days you may be Moses sitting there needing somebody to hold his arms up, Other days you may be Aaron and Hur, being the ones holding Moses' arms up, right? And you can float between those roles, One minute you may be doing this, 10 minutes later you may be the one holding up somebody else's hand, okay? So I think we just need to be aware of, but you got to be there. You got to be in place. You got to be doing your role. Again, just to throw it out there, if you ain't there, you can't do it.
Right.
Now, I understand family and busyness and work and school and soccer and, you know, all the things that we have in our lives, you know, we tend to be really busy people. You know, but my suggestion to you is, just look at the busyness in your life. You know, and let the Holy Spirit lead you and guide you to where are the right places that you should be plugging in. You know, for me personally, I know this is part of my struggle, and this is part of what I'm going through in trying to do what Pastor Tony's been teaching about, of figuring out what's my position in building God's house. What's my position? How do I do that? During pre-service prayer, and this is just, I'm gonna submit this because it struck me during pre-service. There were two words, or two people came up to the, one was Rachel, and I think, I forget who the other one was now, Keith, prayed about being a light, you know, being a light in the world, shining brightly, and the word I heard was beacon. You know, and so my injection here is that, you know, we want our house churches to be a beacon to our community, a beacon to the people we work with, the people that we're around. We want COTR to be a beacon to our community. We want our house churches to be a beacon to within COTR. Excuse me. We want us as individuals to be a beacon in our jobs, in our families, in our homes, and in the places, you know, Walmart, you know, in the places we go. You know, one of the reasons we have house churches is to help fulfill our church's mission, you know, in a smaller setting. You know, we certainly want our house churches to be places of encounter with God. We want them to be places where we're loving people. We want them to be places where we're sharing life together. You know, I love sharing life with my house church. I think it's a great thing. It's fun. I enjoy the time with them. You know, they know things about my family. You know, they know my kids. My kids' names. They know my, you know, we know about each other's kids and grandkids, that we know about each other's plans and, you know, vacations and, you know, those kind of things. Just that intimate fellowship that the larger body just won't know. And so I think it's a great way to build fellowship and to build community and to have somebody love you and pray for you and pray with you that you can bless and be blessed by. I want to take a couple of minutes and have the house church leaders come up, and just I've asked them to come up and give you just a couple of minutes of who they are, why they think house church is important, you know, when they meet, where they meet, what does a typical house church meeting look like, and again, I asked them just to keep it to 2 or 3 minutes. And so let me bring them up, and then I'll let them each speak for a minute or two. Tim and Anna Fetterman have a group. Woo-hoo! Gary, Pastor Gary and Bonnie Stebbins. Woo-hoo! Carl Hatch. Woo-hoo! Cheryl Sherman. And then lastly, Connie and I have a group. Now, as I told you before, you know, I think when you look at these folks, you say, well, yeah, these people are doing all kinds of stuff around here, and they do. And, you know, so, you know, I told you at the beginning that, you know, our house churches don't need a lot of oversight, and you can see why, right? But I get the privilege of working with them to help lead and guide our house churches. So if Gary, would you go ahead and start just a couple of minutes like we talked about?
Okay. Our house church meets on the first and third Thursday night. We're the one group that meets on Thursday nights. Back in the Kingdom Club, we have a group of anywhere from 10 to 15 people. We focus on the sermon from the previous week and talking about it. I don't know about you, but sometimes when you sit through a sermon, it goes in one ear and out the other. And someone asks you at lunch, what was the sermon about? You go, I don't know. And but it helps to reinforce it by going over it. And so we try to dig deeper into the sermon, have a deeper understanding, and how do we apply it to our lives. And we always have some snacks, so that's always encouraging. And one of the things that has stuck with me for decades as a believer, when we were a young family with young children, we always made sure that we were in a small group setting because of the importance of relationships. I believe that when we are born again, we're baptized into the greater body of Christ. We were never called to walk this walk alone, and we need one another to encourage each other and to be there for one another. And so that's always been an important part of our lives, and that's why I believe community is a very important part aspect of the church. And so I want to encourage you to get involved in one group or another.
I did want to mention that we are the only group that has childcare available. Bethany Badger blesses us by watching the little ones. And we also appreciate having the children, the older children, sit in our meetings with us. So if you have children, you're more than welcome to come. And I do want to mention we are a mix of marrieds and singles. So sometimes I know single people might be like, oh, well, I don't want to go to that group. I don't want to go alone. But we have single people, we have young singles, and we'd really like to have more young adults in our group.
Yeah, I want to add that I meant to mention this. House churches are not just for adults. I believe our young adults are an important part. Teenagers and young adults are an important part of the church, and we need to intermingle with one another. The aged should bring some wisdom, the youth should bring some zeal, and melding together should build the kingdom.
All right, our group meets on the first and third Wednesdays. We meet right back here in the Kingdom Club. I'd also like to recognize that Ed and Angie Allen are co-leaders with us. And so we always start off with a time of worship, and they're leading that for us. It's a really awesome time. But then we try to spend some time studying the Word. We like to share testimonies. We always save time at the end to pray for each other. It's a really, really good time. We'd invite you to come.
It's really about life. We do life together. We're a family. We have fun, too. We have a post-Valentine's dinner coming up on the 19th, and people bring things and share, and we're going to do a Bible trivia game. So we have, it's kind of open. We can invite. There's a woman that I've invited, and she is not a believer. So I promised her that there would be a question she could answer in the Bible trivia. So everyone in our group cannot spell the word Bible, okay? That's for her. So I had to do something. She's interested, she's seeking, and so this is an opportunity for us to bring in non-believers. And it's a great way. We also occasionally do a movie afternoon or morning when there's a Christian movie out or a good movie. I'll send out an email for everybody to get together, and it will be a time to bring in non-believers. So the movie times are good times, and then we'll go out to lunch together, and it's a really great time of fellowship. So we're trying to do some of that, so we're just not here at this building.
I wanted to intercept it here for a minute. I wanted to commend Tim and Anna's group, because Galatians 6:2 says, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. And I saw in their house church report this week that, as most of you probably know through the email and stuff, that Ann Walsh had surgery recently. And in their house church report, they their group is looking for, they reached out to Ann and said, how can we help you? And Ann said, I need help, somebody to clean my house. So somebody in their group is working to set up, you know, working out cleaning their house for them. That is carrying Ann's burden. That's what that means. Carry each other's burdens and fulfill the law of Christ. So I really commend you guys for doing what we're called to do. I think that's great.
I was kind of spoiled. I had all these people to teach and guide. And also when my mom had women over to her house all the time. I was a teenager, and Mom used to have women over for a cup of coffee, and she would minister to them. So the Lord had me kind of kicking around this idea for a while, and I had 101 excuses why it wouldn't work. I live in a mobile home. There's not a lot of parking, as the house is small. And then, as I have said before, the Lord said to me, Cheryl, can you make a cup of coffee? Yeah. Well, it started out to have widows. And somehow we emerged from just widows to divorcees, and some are married. Now, I'm probably the smallest group of everyone here. We meet at my house every Thursday afternoon at 1 o'clock, because some of the women don't like to get up too early and they don't drive at night. And they come over, they have coffee, two or three. We always spend a half an hour in prayer. And I don't do this on purpose, but they love to talk about Tony's sermons. And they know Tony's sermons better than I do. It's kind of embarrassing. And they decided at one point, we want to do something to help out the church. Now, one of these women cannot get on a ladder, but she said, let's do the windows in the sanctuary. And I said, I'll have to ask, but I don't see why not. It was the most amazing thing. One afternoon, we spent here washing the windows. And one person did the lower half, and a couple of us did the top half. And every Sunday for a couple of months after that, I'd noticed they were sitting looking at these windows like, I own those windows. We are going to do that again, because it was a small thing, but it's something they could do. And believe it or not, Caroline brings her daughter Jamie. Jamie was such an encouragement. Keep washing. Keep washing. I'd hear that from her. And when Jamie comes to our house, I remember the first time we had three stairs, and it was very difficult for Caroline to bring her up the three stairs. And the Lord just melted Jeff's heart, and he built a ramp so that she can come up. And little things like that. Now, we also, like I said, we spend a half an hour or so in prayer. We pray for the leadership. We prayed for Tony when he had the problem with his eye. We prayed for Carl when he goes to Guatemala. We prayed for Eric or Aaron when he hurt his foot. And we're seeing things as we're praying. One of the women hadn't heard from her granddaughter in over a month. So we just pressed in. And we decided to pray three times a day. By the following week, she heard from her. As it is right now, one of us is dealing with some cancer. And One of the girls said again, "It worked before, let's do it again." 3 times a day, we pray for this woman. And also, you know, we're talking about raising up hands. A couple years ago, I went to New York with Jeffrey on an emergency family issue. These women text me every day. Every day. Or called and left messages. And of course, they told me, you have to call me back. So I would let them know what was going on. You don't get this just coming to church on a Sunday morning. These women are amazing. And it's a small group, like I said. It ranges sometimes just 2 people, sometimes 5 or 6. I think the biggest we got was 8. But that's okay. Because I'm going to open the doors as long as the Lord tells me to these women. Christmas time, we had a wonderful time. We went, because there's such a small group, we went out for lunch. And we got to laughing, and we were praying. And the waitresses came over and said, "I have to tell you, this is the most amazing thing I've ever seen." And I said to her, "Can you take our picture?" "Oh, yes." So we got pictures. And we had 2 waitresses that day stop over, and we had asked them, "Do you need prayer?" "Yes." Amen. Just a couple of little old ladies. We're powerful.
Hi, I'm Connie Woolley. Dean and I have a group that meets at our house on the 1st and 3rd Wednesday nights at 7 o'clock. We live in West Melbourne. All are welcome. John and Denise Huberbacher are our co-leaders, and I think Dean has pretty much covered everything that's to be said about our group, but I just want to say that we have been a part of a house church our whole married life, and it has been such a tremendous blessing to us. Every milestone in our lives, you know, when our children were born, when, you know, we built our first house, we'd have a house blessing. We had blessings over our children. Every milestone, you know, when our parents passed away, our house church has been with us every step of the way, and we're so thankful for that, and we want to extend that to all of the members, everyone that comes. And so whether you come to our group or any of these other groups, they're all awesome. I just really encourage everyone to be a part of a house church, because that connectedness, it just adds so much value.
You have to come to North Brevard County to come to my home group. And I live up on the other side of Melbourne, on the north side, and my group meets on 4 Thursday nights, 7 to 9. It's not a closed group, but it's more of an adult group. And the major things that we do in our home group is that we worship, and the Gerlichs have said, "We would like to be your worship team." So I'm excited that we have live music for our worship, as well as CDs that we listen to in worship. My group is basically built around the structure of being involved with the sermons, be involved with a Bible study, be involved with a book study. And we don't just do the study. We're given assignments to go out and see if the study really works. That's the main thrust of my group, is that here's your assignment, go do this. And then when you come back the next week or the next couple of weeks, you say, "Well, what did you do when you went out?" "Well, I didn't realize that this person would engage me. I just felt God said he wants me to talk to that person." So I got up enough nerve, and I went over and I asked him, "I'm Carl, I'd like to talk to you." And they go, "Really, you'd like to? I saw you, I'd like to talk some more too." So we practice engaging assignments that God gives us to build our witness for the community, for the kingdom of God. So it's a practical application. If we fail, we don't fail. We come back and we learn where we messed up and how to progress. We're willing to take risks and see the blood of Christ work, and that we're all significant, a part of the kingdom in the home group. I'm asked to be last because I want to respond back to Gary and the leadership this morning and the end as we close. When Gary got up to speak, the word that was on us through worship this morning is that God is ministering to us. He gave me these scripture verses out of John chapter 5 where the man was laying on the mat and he said that Jesus walked up and introduced himself and the man said, "The water, every time the water moves, I can't get up. I need someone to help." Jesus said, "The water is moving because I'm the water." And he reached down and picked him up and said, "Take your mat, you're healed." That happened this morning in this church. If you were dealing with something that Gary was talking about and was talking about through worship, if you were dealing with an issue this morning, the water splashed over on you. The life was Jesus. That was the water splashing over. And he reached down and picked you up this morning and took what you would give him and set you free. I want you to respond to this at the end.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I can't say thank you enough to you guys for doing what you do in the house churches and in the church body in general. We really appreciate you. If you're not in a house church, I'd encourage you to go check them out. You know, go look at go pull the flyer out there in the foyer and find out about the groups if you're not in one. Go explore them. Go visit them. You know, and find the one that best fits. You know, again, we have different, we're different leaders. We're different people, so we have different styles. We have different, different methods. But the essence is the same of, building the body and growing disciples. We meet different places, different times, different settings. So find what works. You know, find what works for you to build you up. Amen. And to those of you who are already in a group, I commend you for your involvement. Encourage you to continue. You know, continue to be faithful to your group and attending and participating. Let me close in prayer.
I want to do something just a second, and then I'll let him close in prayer. Just to reiterate, we want everyone to be in a small group, if at all possible. We also have the men's group and the ladies' group. There are other small groups. The reason is church is a lot like, this is going to be a weird analogy, but church is a lot like the American government. It's intended to be by the people, for the people, and the farther away it gets from local, the more it gets to Washington, the less it's by the people, for the people. Well, the same thing happens here. The more that happens in the office, the less it's the church being the church. And I love hearing how many things happen that the office is never even aware of through house churches. That's our intention. And so I just encourage you to get involved, be the church. The church is meant to be, it's not meant to all go through a church office. It really isn't. Amen? All right, so I want to check something before I let Dean close in prayer. Different people perceive different things, spiritual things, different ways. Rachel is saying that she smells the fragrance of the Lord in the room. Now, I never get that. I'm surprised Rachel's getting that because her nose, she's not working so good. But that's going on with her. Is anyone else that ever happened to you, and is that happening to you now? So it's just Rachel. Okay. So what I want to do is just take a second to be what we talked about, just to be community. as if from the words that came earlier, if the presence, it won't take long, but if the presence of the Lord is here, we want to take advantage of that. Amen. So if you, and we're going to all do this, and we're going to do it quickly, so don't take a long time. If you need prayer, and you can summarize in 8 words or less what you need prayer for, pick anyone near you and say, would you pray for me for this? And then we're just going to take a minute, and we're going to pray for them. Amen? Ready? Go. Go. If you need prayer, tell someone you need prayer. Just pick them. Then they have to pray for you because they're a believer. Okay, so you only had 8 words. You ought to be done now. Start praying. Pray for those people. And I'm going to pray. Lord, we just recognize your presence in the room, your presence in us. Lord, the power of your church being the church, the power of your church just praying for one another, just encouraging one another, just strengthening one another. So we take a moment now just to pray, believing that as your church ministers to one another, you are effective, you are powerful. Lord, that you are answering prayer in our midst, in the name of Jesus.
I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with all power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know his love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. In Jesus' name, amen.